So now let's get into the topic for today's conversation, and we're going to continue along with the book When Good Intentions Run Smack Into Reality by Brian Clemmer. This is week 3, lesson 3, and our lesson for today is turning ordinary into extraordinary. And what he does in this chapter is he talks about living an extraordinary life, and of course that should be all of our goals. If you want to live an extraordinary life, then you must be willing to make extraordinary agreements and keep those extraordinary agreements. So we look at what are agreements and why are agreements so important in terms of living this extraordinary life. Life really evolves around all sorts of agreements that we make. We make agreements on where we choose to work, where we live, the relationships we build around agreements, where you bank. Everything that we do is basically built around agreements. We even build in belief systems that are all about agreements about ourselves, agreements about others, agreements we have with our Creator, agreements we have with our spouse, agreements we have with our children. So agreements arise in every aspect of our life, whether we acknowledge them or not. And it's so critical that we make good agreements and we keep our agreements because they play a tremendous role in our success in our lives. First, let's take a peek at making big agreements. First, you need to, in order to look at whether or not you're making big agreements or making extraordinary agreements, you have to look at what are you doing today? What kind of agreements are you entering into today? So look at the agreements that you're doing based on, you know, what you're doing at work and what you're doing with your spouse and what you're doing with your family and what agreements you even make with yourself. On a scale of 1 to 10, where are they? Are you making agreements at the level of 10 or are you making little bitty agreements at the scale of 1? Are you afraid to commit to agreements? Is that why you don't make any agreements? Some people refuse to even go that direction. But the important thing is to look at and evaluate the level of agreements or commitments that you're making with people in your life and yourself today. Are they large and expansive, or are they small? Are you playing life small, or are you playing life big? How do you operate? Some examples that you can look at, I just kind of look at my own life from time to time and say, am I playing small? A few years back, boy, I got that just resounding hit on my head. In fact, I remember the year that I won the number one income growth earner in all of Manatech worldwide. It was incredible. I was on stage for that. I didn't even realize I was going to be given that award, which is a very humbling effect in and of itself. And of course, acknowledging that it was all through God that I even received any of all that. But the intriguing part is at the end of that convention, national convention for Manatech, Jet got on stage and he just went crazy about what an incredible mission this is. And after he got done at his decibel level, I sat in that audience and I felt like I was so small. And it was like, boy, am I playing life small. And that's hit upon me a number of times in the last few years as I've gone through some self-development seminars. One in particular, I can remember being at a homeless shelter, and Father Joe out in San Diego, his shelter is just a phenomenal shelter. It has incredible success rates of recidivism. He has one of the lowest recidivism rates of any homeless shelter in the world. Anyway, he was out there telling people about how he raised money, and he pulled out a check out of his pocket, and he says, you know, I raised money, and he gave us 100 different ways that he takes in money, and one of the ways is he just gets checks in the mail from time to time. And he asked me to open the envelope and read the check. And he covered the name on the check, but I could tell it was a woman's handwriting, handwritten personal check for $1 million. And I looked at that and I thought, wow, I didn't get a wink of sleep that night. I kept thinking, and how small a game I play. I need to be writing million-dollar checks. And that's really struck me hard at that time in my life. And that was 2 years ago. So anyway, how are we playing? Are we playing life small? Are we making big agreements or small agreements? And we need to look at that. And as the Lord laid on my heart to set up a new foundation, and that's been established now, and I finally got a chance to write my first million-dollar check in May, and God knows it never would have happened unless I would have acknowledged 2 years ago how small I was playing my life, because I never even envisioned that I was going to write a million-dollar check. And that's what each of us have to do. Formulate bigger agreements, and that's what's going to create them and create the results. And why is it that we avoid making big agreements? Well, a lot of us avoid making big agreements because we want to stay comfortable. We're living in a comfort zone and we don't want to push ourselves and put outside. You know, when I say write a million-dollar check, some of you are going, that's never going to happen in my life. Well, trust me, I thought the same thing 2 years ago until it was presented to me and slapped in my face, and I got to that realization that anyone can create that. So we stay in this level of comfort. The other reason why we don't make big agreements is the fear of failure. So many of us have such a great fear, and I think the fear is even greater, a fear of success. Some of us fear being ourselves, and what does that really mean, and what kind of success is that going to bring in our life, and then having to have to deal with what success means. Our need to look good. Some of us have to look good. It's more important for us to look good than maybe make a mistake in our lives. So we tend to go down a path of leading insubstantial lives, never fulfilling dreams, never fulfilling our purposes, because we need to look good. And then we also have a lack of belief in ourselves. A lot of people just don't believe in themselves. And it's not about belief or not belief in yourself. It's about just setting a path and saying, I'm going to make an agreement. A lot of people make agreements, and when I made an agreement to write $1 million, I had no idea where that $1 million was going to come from. I had no idea. But I knew that that's what I needed to be doing. And then sometimes we live our lives from possibility instead of, or probability instead of possibility. That's a huge distinction. If you live your life from probability, then you're saying, my past controls my future. And I'm going to suggest to all of you, none of your past control your future unless you choose for them to control your future. So it's not about probability. It's not about, I wasn't successful before, so how can I be successful at this again? It's not about any of that. You come from possibility in your life. Always come from possibility. And you'll see incredible changes and incredible transformation in your life, living a life from possibility. So you look at all these things about, what am I giving up? What am I giving up? If we live this life of mediocrity, then we're not going to bring extraordinary results in our life. And here's an example about some people that give up. I have some people in my organization, I tell them to draft goals. In fact, at the end of the year, in the month of December, I always spend about 3 to 4 weeks just on goal setting for the next year. And I have some people in my organization that say, Mary Jo, I'm not going to draft goals. Why? Because they tell me they never met them before and they're not about to put something in place that they have no confidence they're going to meet again. And I thought, well, that's a solution to your problem. Just choose not to draft them at all. But I'm going to tell you, it may be a solution, but it's the wrong solution. If you learn to keep your agreements, then you have the right solution. For you see that it's the small little agreements that you start keeping in your life. Every day of your life, start keeping every single one of your small agreements. Whether it's an agreement you made to call somebody back, or it's an agreement you made to meet somebody for lunch, or it's an agreement you made to sign somebody up, or it's an agreement, whatever that agreement you made to deliver some property, or some materials, or some, you know, show up at an event, whatever that small. If you start keeping every single one of your small agreements, then when you step into a big agreement, you'll be able to keep it, because your practice of faithfully keeping smaller agreements over the years has given you the capacity to keep that big agreement. So, again, wrong solutions. Don't choose out of making agreements because you haven't been effective at them. Start choosing into them every day of your life and start with the small agreements, and that's what's going to build incredible habits for you. Now, the next thing is, let's look at keeping big agreements, because it's not just about making big agreements. We have to keep them. And here's a great quote that came out of the book, part of being able to keep agreements, even uncomfortably large ones, comes from the ability to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. Oh, let me say that again. Comes from the ability to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. Do you get that scenario? In other words, if you made agreement today, I'm going to be presidential by manifest 2006. For some of you, that's very uncomfortable. And what we're saying here is it's time for you to develop the ability to be very comfortable with being uncomfortable. In fact, most successful people, if you ever read books or stories about successful people, you find out they thrive on being uncomfortable. They look for places they can be uncomfortable. When I set my goals at the end of the year, I really push against the box. I mean, I look at those and I go, wow, that really causes me some little pain and tingle and discomfort, but I thrive on that. That's what helps me drive myself. It helps me really look at what a big player that we need to be in this world, because this world just is desperately in need of leaders and desperately in need of people that step up and make a difference. So let's look at the possibilities here. when someone suggests to you a plan to move your business forward, like going to the national event like Chicago or approaching medical professionals or whatever that might be, you can think of many examples in your life today where people are pushing against you, trying to get you to move forward and do something different, take accepting a change in your life. You need to look at that and say, am I choosing not to do it just because it's out of discomfort? And if that's the reason why you're choosing it, then you need to choose differently. Again, try to get into the concept of having a natural preference to be uncomfortable versus being comfortable. And we can look at some famous stories out there. There's a famous admiral. His name is Admiral Halsey from World War II. He was ordered to stall the Japanese Navy for a period of 24 hours in World War II. Admiral Halsey only had access to small ships, and the Japanese that he was supposed to hold had destroyers and battleships and aircraft carriers, and he was like, thought this was an impossible task, but he knew that if he was going to put up his best fight. He looked at the cost benefits, and at the end of the days that he went through this fight and led this battle, the smoke cleared. He had stalled the Japanese for over 36 hours, 12 more than what he had committed to. One of his underlings came up to him and he said he was commenting afterwards about what a great job he did. And he says, you know, more senior naval officers died in this battle than they had ever seen in any other battle. And he said, you know, there's just a lot of great men that died today. And you know what Admiral Halsey's response was? There are no great men. There are only ordinary people who take on extraordinary challenges. So it's not the talent that determines extraordinary success and extraordinary agreements and extraordinary events in your life, but it's the willingness of you to take on those extraordinary challenges. Sometimes we don't want to take on challenges, and sometimes we don't want to step into things, and the reason we don't do that is we don't understand the price we're paying. If you understand the price you're paying, I always tell people that's one of the greatest ways to move people, is to define for them the cost, if you do a cost-benefit analysis. So let's take a look at the price we pay when we don't keep our agreements. Change comes when we see the price of not changing is higher than the price of changing. So first I'm going to ask you all to make a list of all the things that mean a lot to you in life. So just take some time, and on your outline you're going to see there's 10 different places. You can fill this up. You could go on forever. I could probably put a page together of hundreds of things that are really important to me. But here's some examples that you might put down. If you made a list of all the things that mean a lot to you, you're going to come up with things like health, love, money, friends, peace of mind, fun, security. So there are a lot of things in life that are important to you. Finances, you know, that's money, you know, and the security also falls in that same level. So those are things that are really important to you. Friendships, we said that, and friends. Now all I'm going to ask you to do is remember a time when someone in your life broke his or her agreement with you. And that can be anything. That could be a divorce that happened, because that's a broken agreement. It could be the loss of a child who left your home. That's a break of an agreement. It could be a lot of different things that happened in your life. When somebody broke, and it could just be a very good friend who lied to you, or it could be a friend that stole money from you. It could be all sorts of things. We have massive events in our lives where people break agreements. So think back to a time when someone broke his or her agreement with you. Where were you? What did they agree to do? And then how did it make you feel when they broke that agreement? Now the next exercise is one of listing what is lost when an agreement is broken. So start making that list. And as you can see on your outline, you also have 1 to 10 in that category. So what is lost when an agreement is broken? And I know we don't have the time to sit here for 20 minutes to work through that, but if you work through this exercise, I'm going to suggest to you that when you start filling in that 1 to 10, what are you going to find that's lost? You're going to find that your health probably was sacrificed. A lot of people go through divorce and they get sickly ill for ages, and some never even quite recover. Love, of course, love is always lost when you go through divorce or some kind of break in agreement. Money, usually there's financial repercussions to any breach of an agreement. Friendships are devastated. peace of mind, oh my goodness, the anxiety and the stress that's caused in a break of an agreement. Fun, there's no fun or joy in breaking agreements. Some family relationships are totally devastated in broken agreements. Security, we lose a sense of security. So do you get what the picture is? That all the things that you listed as the most important things in your life are the same things that you lose when you break an agreement. So broken agreements have an incredible downside, incredible downside. And when we start weighing that downside, that's when we get the real look at what agreements are all about. Agreements can make us and agreements can break us. So it's critical that we understand the importance of keeping our agreements, because the hidden costs that we're involved in. And some of you will go, well, Mary Jo, you know, I told my friend I'd call her back and I never called her back the next day. But that's okay, because, you know, it was just an off-the-cuff comment. And I go, are you kidding me? Off-the-cut comment? What does that mean? For you, it might have meant that you were going to call her back if you found time and it was no big deal. But the person that you committed to calling back could have hung around at their home all day long waiting for that phone call, and when they never got it, they were devastated. They lost trust in you. They lost faith. They felt that you broke part of their friendship. I mean, all the wounds that you might have caused that person to suffer, was that worth it for you to commit to making a phone call and then not following through? So the reality is that our assessment of agreements we make isn't what is important at all. What's important is the assessment other people make of the agreements that you make with them, because that's the expectations that we create for them. They expect us to be true to our word. And when we break an agreement, it's a break in our integrity. It's a break in our word. And the devastation and the price you pay for breaking your word is so costly that we really need to start examining why do we do that? What leads us to do that? Is it because it's a societal norm today? Well, that is highly unacceptable as a rationale. What's valuable to you? What are the true values in your life? If you lose your word, if you lose your integrity, I'm going to suggest you have nothing else. So we have to start looking at agreements as we make them. Now, I'll ask you the question, do we have big and do we have small agreements? That's a great question. Because some people look at it and they say, oh yeah, there's big and there's small agreements. We have big agreements. And what is a big agreement? A big agreement might be something like what? Like getting married. That's a pretty big agreement. In our society today, I suggest we're making it smaller and smaller. But nonetheless, when you commit to death do you part in a marriage ceremony, that's a pretty significant agreement. So we have agreements out there that are pretty significant that impact our entire lives. And then we have other agreements, like you agree to take the trash out. Okay, so what do you might agree to do that? On a daily basis or a weekly basis, you agree to take the trash out. So you might look at that, or you make that agreement that I said earlier, agreement to call somebody back. Or you tell somebody you agree to meet them for lunch. It's a new associate, and you don't show up. Or even you agree to meet somebody at 12 o'clock noon, and you show up 10 minutes late. These are all agreements. If I agree to meet you at 12 o'clock, that's my agreement. If I show up 10 minutes late, I've broken my agreement. They're all broken when you don't follow through with your commitment. And some of you say, well, Mary Jo, some of those are big agreements like marriage, and some of them are small agreements. So, you know, the bigger, which ones are more important to meet? I'm going to suggest to you that there is no difference. Start looking at your life as there is no different, because each one of those is your word. When you tell somebody you're going to meet them for lunch at 12 o'clock and you show up 10 minutes late, that person's not going to trust you. And if they don't trust you with being on time, they're not going to trust you with intimate details about their lives. They're not going to trust you with anything. They're going to look at you with this kind of jarred eye concept of this person, I'm not really important to this person, or my time is not worth anything to this person, because they clearly don't mind making me wait. And so all of a sudden, look at the evaluation and the judgment that comes into the picture because you choose to be 10 minutes late. Oh, there I use that word again. Choose. You chose to be 10 minutes late. Some of you are on the call going, well, Mary Jo, I didn't choose to be late. I just, you know, I got into some bad traffic. And I'm like, yeah, you chose to be late. We choose to be late. Don't be victim to the traffic. Don't be victim to the good show on television. Don't be victim to the last phone call that came in. You can be on time for everything that happens in your life. You just have to choose differently. So you have a 12 o'clock lunch date downtown, and you choose to leave your house at 10 to 12 because it takes you 10 minutes if all the traffic is perfect. Well, why are you assuming traffic's going to be perfect? So what's the problem with showing up 10 minutes early if the traffic happens to be perfect? So you leave at 20 minutes to 12. Again, it is your choice. Do you respect or disrespect the person you're going to go to lunch with? Your breach of that agreement as to time is huge as it impacts that other person. So people, if you're not meeting these small little agreements, I'm going to suggest to you that you're not going anywhere on the big ones. Because remember, it's the consistent meeting and habit of meeting those small agreements that build a support system for you to meet the big agreements. So you can really tell when you're working with somebody in Manitech, you get a new associate. What if they're late for every event that you have? Boy, I'm going to tell you, that's a big show up. It's a big show up saying, I'm more important than you are. It's a big show up saying, I can't meet my agreements at this level. So do you think I'm going to meet my agreement to make it to presidential? Probably not. A big show up. So get your feelers out and your sensitivity to that, not just around yourself, but that's very crucial because you want to make sure you're building the right kind of relationships and you're saying the right things with the agreements that you're keeping. But also keep your feelers up around other people. And it's important for you to point it out to people when they don't meet their agreements. Why? Because it's called let's change the standard in our society. We have a standard about being late, which is ridiculous. It's about loss of integrity. And again, once you lose integrity, you never get it back. So it's not about giving people the breaks that they ask for. It's not about, you know, allowing them to get away with bad behavior. It's about us holding others to be accountable, including ourselves. But you better start with yourself because you can't go out holding somebody else accountable for something you're not accountable for yourself. Okay, so you get it. There are no big and small agreements. Agreements are all the same. You break one, you break them all. You break one, you lose your integrity. You break your word. You lose the trust. You lose the faith. The price you pay is immense. So we don't want to break any agreements. And we sure as heck want to establish a track record of is close to 100% true to our word, true to our agreements, so that when we start making those big ones, guess what? They're going to happen because we've worked so effectively at keeping all the small agreements. So we look at remedies. So how do we do this? And everyone asks, okay, Mary Jo, yeah, I'd love to keep agreements. I want to live an extraordinary life. I want to have extraordinary agreements, and I want to be able to keep those extraordinary agreements. So what do I need to do to make a difference? Well, some of you already know. You already look at yourself, and you can look at what are the commitments you're making that you're not sticking to, you're not keeping. What are the small agreements in your life that you're making and not keeping? The agreements to make phone calls, the agreements to show up, the agreements to be on time, the agreements, all these. What are you breaking every day of your life, and what do you need to start fixing right now, starting the moment you get off this call? That's what you need to do. You start looking at that. Be conscious. And the first step is, of course, the awareness. Be conscious of all the agreements you make, and don't be careless and carefree about them. Keep every agreement, no matter how small you may perceive them to be or how large. Every agreement is about your word. It's about your integrity. Number two, quit, and I mean quit now. Quit living your life so small. We have an incredible world out there that's crying out for leaders, for change, for direction. So make your stand, commit to something huge, and make a major contribution to this world. We desperately need change in this world, and you can't make that contribution when you play so small. So start looking at that big agreement that you need to make. That's a passion in your heart. That's a commitment from you. And put that forth. Set that forth. Put it in action and watch it come to fruition. And for many of you, just like I said earlier, you got to start with smaller agreements just to get to the habit of keeping them. So start with the smaller ones. If you're a really bad agreement keeper and you know it, you're the one that shows up late for lunch, you're the one that never calls people back, you're the one that doesn't follow up with prospects because you already assume that they're not going to sign up, or you make some crazy assumption about yourself, or you don't want to deal with rejection, or on and on and on. And how many hundreds of excuses can I come up with? None of which are valid. If you're one of those people, then I'm going to suggest you got to start with the little bitty agreements. Because those people, to make a big agreement is a lark. Because if they can't even keep a small one, they sure as heck aren't going to keep a big one. So start with the small agreements and keep a record of them and watch yourself and acknowledge yourself on keeping the small agreements. And then forge ahead to making those bigger agreements. The more you keep your word, the more your subconscious will work on your behalf to help you accomplish your goals. And this is so critical as we move in towards the end of 2005 and then go into 2006 when you do your goal setting. If you're not an agreement keeper, then it doesn't matter what you put on a piece of paper as your goals, because your subconscious can't help you work towards the end result. But if you are an agreement keeper, now watch what happens on the goals you set. So people, the bottom line is, let's get out of ordinary and let's all start living extraordinary lives and making a difference for all. Okay, we got some time now. Maybe we can have some open question answers.